prior to the late 18th century, notions of marriage tended to be pragmatically based on economic and political considerations of money, resources, power, and alliances. The sentimental and passionate love-based marriage stood in radical contrast to this older sense. Through the 19th and 20th centuries, the romantic love match came to dominate as the ideal for marriage in Western culture. This romance narrative is now arguably the most powerful one at work in American culture. The core story about finding true love and happiness has come to have great resonance and pervasive influence, both in people's lived experience and in the representations of love in the wider culture. Since its ascendance in the 19th century, romance may well be the prime cultural narrative of the modern Western world. By calling the romance story a cultural narrative, I mean a guiding story that provides coherence and meaning in people's lives. The truth value of this story lies in the extent to which it is held to be true by people who shape their lives around that story, whether consciously or unconsciously. In this sense, there is a mythic or religious nature to the romance narrative. It functions as a foundational or idealized story about the meaning and purpose of life, even when it fails to deliver on its promised happy ending and leads instead to heartbreak and tragedy. According to this story, despite the risks, love is what gives value and depth to our life. Our purpose is to bond with a well-suited mate worthy of our love, and to love and be loved by this mate within a circle of family and friends. Here, life is a high-stakes quest for the holy grail of one true love. This search is driven by yearning and desire for the paradise of this romantic happily ever after. We chase romance. We structure our lives around it. We fashion much of our art and culture from it. The romance story is not only a narrative, but becomes also, more disturbingly, an imperative. The happily in love, pair-bonded, generally, although increasingly not exclusively heterosexual, couple is made into a near-mandatory norm by the media and popular culture, as this romance story is endlessly taught and replayed in a multiplicity of cultural sites. Disney princess movies, the wedding industry, fairy tales, Hollywood movies, pop music lyrics, advertising, the diamond jewelry industry, and more. One of the most interesting cultural sites where romance is taught, retold, and, a crucial point, experimented with in new forms is in the literal romance story of mass-market genre fiction. There are obviously significant differences among the cultural sites listed above, as there are differences among the subgenres and storylines in romance publishing. Nonetheless, the basic plot of the romance narrative, find somebody to love, work through problems, be happy, holds true as a common storyline across all these categories and across all of the books, despite the variation. As such, likening these various cultural forms allows us to look at the phenomenon of the romance narrative as a whole. Moreover, when we focus in on genre romance fiction, we find a particularly rich cultural site to study the workings of the broader romance narrative. Romance fiction is America's best-selling genre. According to industry research compiled by the professional trade organization Romance Writers of America, or RWA, romance novels constitute the largest segment of fiction publishing and of the consumer book market. Romance fiction had a readership of almost 75 million Americans in 2008, including 29% of all Americans over the age of 13. That's about the age when I got hooked on the books. As a girl, I'd been an avid reader, British pony stories, Nancy Drew, The Chronicles of Narnia. By the time I hit my teens, I added the classics and my mother's romance collection. Among romance's various subgenres, I read single-titled historical romance, as those big medieval and 19th century romances, misunderstood privateers, hot-blooded Highland lairds, rakish English dukes, best provided for me that rush of fantasy pleasure, and the escapist feeling of otherness that I sought in my reading experience. The romance novels were a treat, a reward to be savored. When I finished my school exams or handed in a research essay, I allowed myself to read one novel. I chose my book with care, buying it or trading with a girlfriend or snagging one of my mom's from the giant stack teetering beside her bed. I looked for poignant stories with strong heroines who overcame long odds to win happiness and a man. I wanted the book to make me cry, and then to sigh as I closed the back cover.